By his own admission, he was an unattractive, unmotivated little boy. He was difficult to like, especially for a school teacher who all day long faced his deadpan, expressionless, unfocused stare. Although his fifth grade teacher said she loved all her students, Miss Thompson had to admit that deep down she wasn't being honest. She didn't like him, and she even received a certain perverse pleasure in marking his papers with red ink and writing the F's with a flair. Her view of him was already distorted by her perspective, but she should have known better. As his teacher, she had his records, and she knew more about him than she wanted to admit. His records read like this. First grade. Teddy shows promise with his work and attitude, but he has a poor home situation. Second grade. Teddy could do better. Mother is seriously ill. He receives little help at home. Third grade. Teddy is a good boy, but too serious. He is a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade. Teddy is very slow, but well behaved. His father shows no interest. At Christmas, her class all bought her presents in pretty wrappings and gathered around to watch her open them. She was surprised when she received a gift from Teddy. It was crudely wrapped in brown paper, loosely held together with tape. When she opened it, out fell a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume. The children began to giggle, but she had enough sense to put on the bracelet and apply some of the perfume onto her wrists, and she asked the class, "Doesn't it smell lovely?" "Oh, ah," the children said. When school was over and the children had left, Teddy had lingered behind. He slowly came over to her desk, and he said softly, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother. And her bracelet looks real pretty on you too. I'm glad you liked my presents." When Teddy left, Miss Thompson got down on her knees and asked God to forgive her. The next day, when the children came to school, they were welcomed by a new teacher. Miss Thompson had become a new person. She was no longer just a teacher. She had become an agent of God. She now had a changed perspective. She was now a person committed to loving her children and doing things for them that would live on after her. Because of Miss Thompson's loving attention, by the end of that school year, Teddy showed dramatic improvement, and he had caught up with most of the other students. Miss Thompson did not hear from Teddy for a long time after he had left her class. Then one day she received a note that said, "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I will be graduating second in my high school class. Love, Teddy Stallard." 4 years later, Miss Thompson received another note. It read, "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I would be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Teddy Stallard." Finally, Miss Thompson received another note. "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stallard, medical doctor. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. I'm getting married next month, the 27th to be exact. I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You are the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy Stallard." Miss Thompson went to that wedding. Jesus told stories to teach spiritual truths, because stories connect the dots for us. Stories give application. Stories give insight. Stories give encouragement. Stories we identify with them. Who doesn't want to be a Miss Thompson? Who doesn't want to see Teddy Stallards that we're going to go back home to soon? Who doesn't want us to see Teddy Stallards reach their full God-given potential? We're all going to be leaving here later on this morning or today to go back to our homes, to our same old, same old. But we can go back different. There's a choice that each one of us will make as we leave from here. Some may make a choice by default. Others of us are going to say, by the grace of God, I want to be different to what I was when I came. I want to be Miss Thompson to those who I'm going back to. What's going to mess with my resolve and your resolve to be Miss Thompson when we go back home later on today? What's going to mess with that? What will mess with that resolve to be Miss Thompson is when we dwell on the offences that we've copped from those that we go back to, those who have wronged us. There are parishioners who have hurt us. There are parishioners out there who have the wrong perception. They may even be saying things that we know are not true. We may even have had a bruise from a colleague here over these last few days. That can happen. We may even have a spouse who doesn't seem to really be for us in ministry, preventing us from being effective Miss Thompsons. What do we do when we're offended? I'm not sure what you do, but I know what I like to do. I like to tell someone about the offence, someone I know who likes me. And I can tell them about the offence that's been given to me, and I might just embellish it a little bit, just to bring home the point. There are other times I feel like going to the person who's offended me, and I want to kick him fair in the gooblies. There are others who I just want to go to and give them a piece of my mind. But Jesus says, you've got to forgive them as I forgave you. Oh, you've got to forgive them just as I've forgiven you. Jesus says, you've got to go to the offender and you've got to talk it through. So that messes with our resolve to be Miss Thompson's, our offences. Another thing that can mess with our choice, our resolve to be Miss Thompson, is envy. Some of us may have heard stories of colleagues here for these last few days, and man, everything is just roses in their parish. It's all good. They've got new programs, and their numbers are going up and to the right. That demotivates us when we hear those things, let's be honest. There was one Ministers and Wives conference that we were at, and during the conference, the denominational yearbook came out. And Vandenor took them to the conference to save postage, so we all got our copy. And I was sitting next to some people, and guess what page we all went straight to? To the statistics. Because, you see, if my church was sort of further up to the right than yours, then, hey. Now, if my church was down, going south, well, then... Now, if it was sort of the same, well, at least I'm not as bad as them. So we go back to our church feeling envious. Another thing that can mess with our resolve to be Miss Thompson is disappointment with God. Maybe we don't want to admit that, but deep down that's what it is. Why hasn't God blessed my ministry, my efforts, the things that we're trying to do? How come over there it always seems to be going well? I don't get it. And then sometimes our spouses can say to us, see, it's working there. I did tell you to try that. That's what happens, eh? Heaps of things will mess with our resolve to be Miss Thompson's. And I want us just to slow down for a moment. I want to remind you and myself of how you and I can be a Miss Thompson and teach and encourage and nurture our folk to reach their full God-given potential. We've got to submit to the authority and to the perfecter of life. And every one of us has a unique thumbprint. Just look at your thumb. Everybody just look at your thumb. And that thumbprint, those little squiggly lines on your thumb, are like no other thumb in this whole room. That is your thumbprint that God has given you. And He's equipped you. He's given you everything that you need. Yeah, we might think we need more, but He said, you take that thumbprint and you apply it to the place where I've put you. We submit to the authority and the perfecter of life. We allow the Holy Spirit living in us to steer the choices that a Christ-following Miss Thompson submits to. We pray. Every morning, before we step into our roles, we pray, God, I choose to obey you. Help me love those whom I meet today like you do. John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Friends, you and I, we are the thumbprints. We are the part that's in the vine. And Jesus says, if you and I remain in him, and if we allow him to remain in us, we will bear much fruit. Have a look at verse 16. John 15, verse 16. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Well, I've been thinking about these things for a few days, and I was reminded by those who have gone before me that you've got to quote Calvin when you're in a place like this. So I wanted to know what Calvin says. What does it mean, without me you can do nothing? And Calvin says, this is the conclusion and application of the whole parable. So friends, you and I are going to get on a bus and on a plane or in a car, and we're going to go back to our homes, and we're going to go back as Miss Thompsons, submitted to the will of God. We're going to stay in the vine, and I want to pray for us as we just humble ourselves. And we say, Father, thank you for these few days of rest, relaxation, of recharge, a time to just recalibrate, a time to be encouraged, a time, Lord, to be reminded that when we stay in you and you in us, then when we take our thumbprints back to where you've planted us, God, you will grow something beautiful. So, Father, help us with those times of unbelief, those times of doubt, those times of frustration. God, may we just keep our eyes on you, the author, the perfecter, the worker that's working in us and through us all for your glory. So, God, we give you thanks. And we go according to your drumbeat. And we all said, Amen. Thank you.